Editorial, New York, Crisis, April 10th, 1865. The people of the North owe Lincoln eternal hatred. 500,000 new-made graves, 500,000 orphans, 200,000 widows. These are the things he gave us. As the Lord liveth, we shall pay him all we owe him someday, him and his bloody band of traitors.
This clipping was found 5 days later in Abraham Lincoln's pocket.
From the Museum of Television and Radio in New York, Quicksilver Radio Theater, winner of the Silver Reel Award, presents a true story of the mystic threads that are woven into everyday life. Please, turn down your lights and come with us to Washington City in the early hours of April 14th, Good Friday, 1865, Abraham Lincoln's last day on Earth. General Robert E. Lee surrendered his army just last Sunday, Palm Sunday. There's been celebration every night this week, though many wives and mothers wear black. Most plan to go to church today to thank God for deliverance from ancient sin and recent war. By morning, most have made it to their beds. In the White House, President Lincoln has just risen from his to put on his faded dressing gown and worn-out carpet slippers.
Good morning, Mr. President.
Good morning, Officer Crook.
Been looking to see you. I heard you stirring a while ago.
I was dreaming. I sleep a little better since Sunday. Never quite get rid of the tired spot inside, though. Lilacs woke me up.
Yeah, the gardeners are working out front.
What time you got there, Crook? Gotta wind this pocket turnip.
Just 7:05.
Thank you.
Going down to breakfast, sir.
No, I expect we'll wait till about 8. Robert should be here by then. I'm just going to step into the sitting room, read a little good book, and then see what treasures await in the office. Morning, John.
Morning, Mr. Lincoln.
Mail ready yet?
Yes, sir.
Lay it on the table here by the window. I can see the river this morning. Take a couple notes for me, would you? Tell Fred Seward to assemble the cabinet at 11. Mention General Grant will join us.
And?
To General Van Allen. General, on the advice of my friends, I will not soon take such risks as my visit to Richmond last week. Now, with the support of men like yourself, we will, in your words, restore a union of hearts and hands as well as states. I'll sign them myself.
Got it. On the subject of risk, We got this. A drawing of you hanging from a noose.
Splashed with red ink. Original touch. Well, I got this big oak stick with a head and tail of bolts from the Monitor and Merrimack that ought to trump any threat. Just put that in the assassination envelope.
In the pigeonhole in the roll top.
Yep.
Gotten pretty full since the nomination.
The first few made me a little nervous, but, John, there's nothing in the world like getting used to things.
Yes, sir.
Well, better get down to breakfast.
Well, Mr. Lincoln, there you
are. Sorry, Mother.
Your coffee is getting cold.
Good morning, Ted.
Morning. Did you hear the cannons last night?
Sure. Did you sleep?
Oh, no. It was too exciting, Paul.
Here's your egg.
Thank you.
I wish you'd have a little more. You've lost 30 pounds since we've been here.
Oh, I suppose I can celebrate a little. That's the bacon.
Ooh. Well, husband, you are more cheerful than I've seen you in a long while.
I think I have reason.
Ted, it's chilly today. You play inside, but keep that goat outside.
Paul!
Your mother runs this firm, son. Robert!
Come give your mother a kiss, Robert.
Robert, Bob!
I haven't seen you in months.
What's in your hand, Bob? A present for me?
No, for Pa.
Oh.
It's a daguerreotype of General Lee.
Set it down, son. Put on my spectacles and take a good look at it. That his noble face.
Right, the face of the man who spurned your offer of the command of the Union Army.
Mother, the war is over. And son, you come home safe.
Yay. Yes, Pa.
I wish all the boys could do the same. The ones that were against us, too.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Now, Captain Lincoln of General Grant's staff, you give us the bird's eye view of Appomattox.
Oh, it was great. I was at the McLean farmhouse.
Oh.
Did you know they moved from Virginia because they were near First Bull Run? The war began and ended on their property.
Oh. These times are just one odd event after another.
They are.
What a contrast between the two generals. Grant's about 40, brown beard, maybe 5'8".
Uh-huh.
We came in such a hurry, he was in a muddy blue lieutenant's coat. Lee must be over 6 foot. Not quite as tall as you, Pa. Over 60, pure silver beard, new gray uniform, gray buckskin gloves, and jeweled sword.
I suppose, General Grant, that the object of this meeting is fully understood.
Yes. Let us draw up copies of the terms.
Sir, there does not seem to be any ink in the house.
Colonel Marshall?
Yes, sir, I have my pocket ink stand.
Colonel Potter has some passable army-issue paper here.
General, the cavalry use their own horses in our army. Will they be permitted to keep them?
Aye. Doubt they'd be able to put in a crop to get their families through the winter without their horses. All who claim to own a horse or a mule may take it with them.
That will do much towards conciliating our two nations.
Sirs?
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Colonel.
Unless you have any more suggestions, we will sign.
It is done.
Yes.
General, I have a good 1,000 of your men as prisoners. And we have been living the past few days on parched corn.
I would like to have our men exchanged as soon as possible. What size is your present force?
My losses have been exceedingly heavy, and there has been desertion.
Suppose I send over 25,000 rations.
That would be a great relief, I assure you.
General Lee.
Yes?
I meant no disrespect by my casual appearance. General, that is some sword.
It is it not? It was presented to me by some English ladies who sympathized with our cause.
Lee shook hands with Grant.
I'll see to it that we get you those supplies as soon as possible.
Then walked out onto the porch.
Goodbye, General.
Looking over to the valley where his army was. He didn't even seem to notice the Union officers in the yard rise to attention. General Grant saluted by raising his hat. And we all did the same as Lee left.
Tell those men to stop those salvos!
Yes, sir.
The rebels are our countrymen again! We'll not throw our victory in their teeth!
Yes, sir. General, shouldn't we telegram Washington?
Oh, my God, of course.
General Lee surrendered the Army of Northern Virginia this afternoon on terms proposed by myself. I've been carrying it with me all week. The peace was signed on Union paper with Confederate ink. That's a good start.
Pa, I wish you could have seen Lee stare at our Colonel Potter. He is full-blooded Indian, and Lee thought that we had a Negro high on the Union Army staff.
I reckon we'll all have to get used to things like that.
Uh-huh. Mr. Lincoln, Speaker Colfax is waiting to see you.
All right, John. Now, you be a good host to the folks in the hall today, Ted.
I'm going to sell them nickel lemonade, Pa.
Now, son, remember, your father was a shopkeeper. Isn't 5 cents a bit steep?
I'll give 3 cents to the soldiers' fund.
I was a lawyer, too, Tadpole. Make it 4. Bob.
Bob.
Mr. Harvard graduate, you're going to take off that uniform and see if you make a lawyer.
Yes, Bob.
We'll talk it over. Your mother and I are going out with your old boss and Mrs. Grant this evening. Would you like to come along?
Yes.
I would just like a night at home. I don't believe so, Father.
Nobody asked me to go.
Oh, you wouldn't like this play, Ted. How about we take you to see Aladdin next week?
That's right. Hooray!
All right, well, The business of the Republic presses, as do the people who are waiting to instruct me in how to conduct it. I'll see you all later.
Mr. Hay, how are things?
Mr. Speaker, the tycoon is in a great humor.
Good, good.
Hello, Colfax. The war is over. Give me your hand. Now, what brings you all the way back in from Indiana?
Mr. President, Speaker of the House, I'm entitled
let's
to...
Let's have a resting spell from Mr. President, shall we?
Well, as one Hoosier to another. Lincoln?
Thank you.
I'm leaving tomorrow for California, and I wanted to congratulate you on the peace and see if you planned on calling a special session of Congress.
No, I don't reckon.
Well, I have some
concerns. Colfax. Don't you think it's peculiar that I, who could never so much as cut off the head of a chicken, was elected into the middle of all that blood?
Frankly, yes.
There must be a reason. Oh, I envy you your holiday, West.
Speaking of serving the country, what are the men who caused the rebellion, men with oaths to this government who plotted secession in the seats of the Capitol?
Those boys were trying to blow out the moral lights around us.
Yes, they were.
But, Colfax, what we deal with is too vast for malice. Scare those big fish out by hinting they'll be punished.
Yeah.
Then maybe we can do better with the little ones.
Such a policy won't work.
We will find out. Might be like a New Salem picnic years back. Some folks took their lunch across the Sangamon River on Old Scow. Come time to go home, the thing had floated downstream. So one bright fella suggested every man take off his shoes, pick up the girl he liked, and carry her over.
Well,
the system worked. Except for the last two. A little wisp of a fella and a very stout old maid. It may be that we'll get one after another of these Confederates taken care of till Jeff Davis and I are left alone on the bum side. I hope the radicals will let us get across. The only rules are going to be restoration of national authority, no backing down on slavery, and disbanding of all hostile forces. Maybe Jeff will take a fast horse to the Gulf of Mexico and go so far in we never see him again.
Well, I guess drowning's as good as hanging.
Not hang them, hang on to them, right, Paul?
That is just it, Ted. Yes.
Mr. Lincoln.
Huh. Good morning, Mrs. Lincoln.
Oh, hello, Mr. Colfax. Mr. Lincoln, the Wallaces can't make the theater tonight either.
Oh.
Don't forget to remind General Grant that he promised to come.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. President,
Ted.
I'll be on my way.
Wait, Colfax.
I need change for my stand.
Just a minute, son. You take this, Colfax. I brought that back from Richmond for you. That is the gavel of the Confederate Speaker of the House.
I'll use it to hammer some sense into our new Southern congressman. Thank you.
Colfax, you take them back like they never been away. Now, we've been given a chance here to rebuild this republic on the grounds of justice and liberty, paid for with blood sacrifice.
Sacrifice, indeed. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Colfax.
Good morning.
Ted, you're cleaning out the presidential treasury here.
Thanks, Paul!
Now shoo, Thomas. Mr. Lincoln, why were you late to breakfast? Dr. Barnes told you not to overwork.
I was just looking at the Bible. Have you ever noticed how much there is in that book about dreams? There must be a dozen chapters in the Old Testament, four or five in the New, where God spoke to men in dreams. Now, nowadays, dreams are regarded as silly.
Mr. Lincoln, you look solemn. Do you believe in dreams?
I can't say, John, but I had one the other night that has vexed me ever since. And the very next time I opened the Bible, it was the chapter of Genesis with Jacob's wonderful dream. And everywhere I turned were visions and supernatural visitation.
You frighten me. What is the matter?
Oh, I was probably wrong to mention the thing, but like Banquo's ghost, it will not down.
If it has such a hold on you, you must tell it.
Yes, Mr. Lincoln, tell us.
Well,
A week or 10 days ago, I'd been up waiting for dispatches from the front. I got to bed very late. I hardly hit the pillow when I fell into a slumber. I immediately started to dream. There was a death-like stillness about me. But then I heard people weeping. In my dream, I left my bed and wandered downstairs. I came nearer to the sobbing, but I could not see any mourners. I went from room to room, every room familiar to me, but where were these people, grieving as if their hearts would break? It gave me the hypo. Then I came to the east room, and I found a sickening surprise. A dais holding a corpse wrapped in black vestments. There was the crowd, staring mournfully at the cadaver. I asked one of the soldiers on guard, "Who's dead in the White House?"
"The president. He was killed by an assassin."
I didn't sleep any more that night. I've been haunted by that scene ever since.
I'm glad I don't believe in dreams. I'd live in terror from now on.
I'm sorry we coaxed you to tell it.
Oh, it was only a dream. Besides, it was some other fellow that was killed. I'm like the old farmer back in Kentucky whose kin were almost killed by eating bad greens. They had a half-witted boy named Jake. And forever after, when they had greens, the old man would say, "Now, afore we risk these greens, let's try them on Jake. Oh. If he stands, then we know we're all right."
Mr. President.
Well, let it go. I think the Lord in his own good time and way will work it out.
Well, I need to go take care of arrangements for tonight.
All right.
You haven't forgotten the note you sent me the other day.
I have not.
Mr. Lincoln, you've got a cabinet meeting at 11.
Oh, yes, but I want to get over to the War Department and check the telegraph news before then.
Mr. President, hold your time, please, sir.
Look, the President, I would almost give my other arm to shake the hand of Abraham Lincoln.
You will do that, and it will cost you nothing.
Mr. President.
What's your name, son?
Private Fred Rothbart, sir, 121st New York.
Colonel Upton's boys.
Yes, sir.
Where were you wounded?
I was in the bloody angle at Spotsylvania. Took a mini ball in the elbow, and there she went.
Son, I did all I could to keep that from happening. You were a brave soldier.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Now, can you be a brave citizen and help us put this country back together?
I will, sir.
Good, good.
Just a moment of your time. Sir, a moment of your time, please. I need to speak to you. Good morning, Mr. President.
Don't I know you, ma'am?
Mrs. Dwight Hess, Mr. President.
Oh.
My husband manages Grover's Theater.
Of course. I'm sorry. We won't be able to see your Aladdin tonight.
Oh.
Another messenger beat yours to our door.
I understand, Mr. President. I just came to see the conservatory.
Oh.
I hear it is beautiful this spring.
Oh, it is? It is. Have you ever seen my lemon tree?
No, I don't.
Well, come on, let me show you.
No, Mr. President. You're the second famous person that I've shaken hands with this morning. Johnny Booth was at the theater when I left.
Well, we gents got the better part of the bargain. Hand of a charming lady.
Oh, you're too kind. You must be very happy about the glorious news, Mr. President.
Oh, Mrs. Hess, for the first time since this awful war began, I can see my way clear.
Mm-hmm.
And here are a few of the most beautiful lemons you've ever seen for you, Mr. Hess, and all the little Hesses.
Thank you.
If you'll excuse me, I got to get over to the telegraph bureau.
Oh, thank you.
Good morning.
Morning, Mr. President.
Morning, Stanton. Let me hang my shawl over your door here. Does the Secretary of War have any good news for his president this morning?
General Sherman is still chasing Johnson's army through North Carolina. No news.
You don't worry, there will be. I had a dream about it last night.
Really, Mr. President, I don't think
Stanton. You sure? You and Miss Stanton won't come out with us tonight? Grant will be along.
No, Mr. President. Not on Good Friday.
Well,
and I just spoke to the general of the rumors of assassination about Again, I urge you not to go out Stanton. Among a crowd of strangers at night.
Stanton, an elected president cannot live in an iron box surrounded by a palace cohort.
If you insist on going, take the best guard you can.
Can I have your Major Eckert over there? I've seen him break pokers over his arm.
What?
Well, granted, he was trying to show how cut-rate government pokers are, but I think he'd be just the man to go with us this evening.
Lincoln, there is important work here for the chief of the telegraph office, and I repeat, you should not be going.
I know better than to tangle with you, Stanton. Eckert!
Sir?
Your boss insists I find another watchdog, but I'd rather have you. Hand me my shawl, would you?
I wish that I could go with you, sir.
Well, I expect we'll find someone. Mr. Secretary, don't forget to bring that paperwork to the cabinet meeting.
Hmm? Oh, I should be there within a quarter hour.
Well, it's Wells. Good morning, Mr. Secretary of the Navy. It's just 11. We were all talking about the great news.
Morning.
Morning.
I believe it's the first time we've all been around this table in months.
Take advantage of the situation now. I'm going home to Maine this summer.
Please, take your chairs, gentlemen.
All here but Mr. Stanton, I see.
Mars, the god of war, is on his way. We're only missing State. Fred Seward is setting in.
Morning, gentlemen.
His father's still recuperating from that horrible carriage wreck. The Attorney General was just about to sound off, I believe.
Yes. Shouldn't the rebel leaders be captured and tried? I suppose, Mr. President, you wouldn't be sorry to see them slip out of the country.
Speed? I feel like old Pat O'Leary back in Springfield. He'd been a friend of the bottle for a good number of years, till his folks got him to take the pledge. Soda water grew distasteful to him. So he'd hold the glass behind himself and say, Mike, couldn't you slip a bit of brandy in that, unbeknownst to myself?
I don't see what that has to do with...
General Grant is here, gentlemen.
Oh, Grant! Grant, you are the man of the hour. I reckon your ears must be just about burnt off. You have anything to add to the report from Appomattox?
Just, Mr. President, that I had a terrible headache for days. And when the news came that Lee was willing to surrender, it was gone like magic.
I don't doubt it. Well... the problem on the table now is ex-Confederates. Any opinions?
They fought valiantly and suffered much, though for just about the worst cause there ever was. Mm. I have wanted to ask you, sir, how did you find the situation in Richmond last week?
Thank you for bringing that up, Grant. I have taken some criticism from these gentlemen about that trip. There is a moral to that story. When we took Richmond... I convinced Admiral Porter to take me in a barge with a few Marines to see the ex-capital. We found a burned-out shell. Looked like a comet hit it.
Well, Mr. President, evidently all the mines were cleared. We made it to the dock. No one around but those Negro laborers over there cleaning up. Watch the debris, sir, stepping up on the dock. Mm. Careful, careful, Master Lincoln.
Hold my hand, Ted.
Yes, Pa.
Fires... seem to be burning out. Thank God I live to see this. It's like I've been having a nightmare for 4 years, and it's finally over. Richmond's a Union city again, Porter.
What's left of it, sir?
Bless the Lord. Here's our Messiah. I knowed Mr. Lincoln as soon as I seen him.
Are those slaves, Paul?
Not anymore, son. Don't ever use that word again.
He been in my heart for years, and now he come to see the children he freed from bondage. Glory, hallelujah.
No, don't kneel to me. That's not right. You kneel only to God. I'm just his humble servant, like you.
Praise the Lord.
You now have all the rights he's given any other citizen of this republic.
You men there, keep a weather eye out for rifle barrels in those windows.
Yes, sir.
Excuse us, massa. We mean no disrespects to Mr. Lincoln, but we've been so many years in the desert, it's mighty pleasant to be looking at last at our spring alive.
Mr. President, it's not safe to stand here. You're a very prominent target.
Admiral, we're not in a hurry.
The street was empty 2 minutes ago. Mr. President, we should keep moving.
Just let me say a few words to these
Please,
poor folks. Friends! My friends! You are as free as air. You cast down the name slave and trample on it. It's a sin. You were deprived of your birthright of freedom for so long. But
We must be worthy of that priceless treasure. Show the world you deserve it. Don't let your joy carry you to excess. Learn the laws. Obey God's commandments, for to him we owe everything, yes? Now, let me pass on. I want to see your Richmond and then get back to Washington and make secure that liberty you hold so dear.
So, I see white faces in the window. Those could be the dangerous ones. That is no welcome.
Oh, I pity the person that didn't feel the strokes of the lash just because they happened to land on somebody else's back. Oh, it is hot. And the stovepipe hat does not a good fan. You may give the presidency for a glass of water.
Sir, I would give my commission for half that.
Abraham Lincoln!
Sir! You let him come, son. Abraham he Lincoln. Looks friendly.
If not, my sword is in my hand.
Abraham Lincoln, God bless you.
Keep your distance there.
I were no slave owner. Abraham Lincoln, I always known you were the poor man's friend. Just want to shake your hand.
Well, sonny, if you can reach it through the crowd, here's one descended from a long line of poor Kentucky hands.
Woo-hoo!
Now you're going to lose a good cap throwing it in the air like that, Bob. Ted, don't do it. Your mother will skin you and me too if you lose yours.
Mr. Lincoln, we're almost to the Confederate Congress.
Good. I want to sit in Jeff Davis's chair.